You're listening to Policy Currents, a weekly podcast from RAND. I'm Evan Banks.
And I'm Deanna Lee. Every Friday, we bring you new insights from RAND's latest research and commentary. It's May 31st.
We've been off for a few weeks, so today we're highlighting some RAND research that was published during our break. First up, a study that examined the impact of same-sex marriage. The first state-sanctioned marriage licenses for same-sex couples in the U.S. were issued in 2004 in Massachusetts. Over the next 11 years, same-sex marriages were sanctioned in several other states before the Supreme Court ruled in 2015 that state-level bans on marriage for same-sex couples violate the Constitution, extending the right to marry to same-sex couples nationwide. What have been the effects of this? A new RAND study finds that there have been significant benefits to same-sex couples, and no harm to different-sex marriage. Let's start with the benefits to LGBT people and their children. Evidence suggests that a phenomenon known as the marriage benefit, which has been well documented in different-sex couples, applies to same-sex couples too. This includes lower psychological distress as compared with same-sex couples with other forms of legal status or no legal status. The physical health of LGBT people in states that approved same-sex marriage also improved. And when states legalized same-sex marriage, same-sex households experienced more stable relationships, higher earnings, and higher rates of home ownership. Evidence also suggests health and academic benefits for the children of same-sex couples. Meanwhile, evidence shows that the fears expressed by opponents of same-sex marriage simply did not come to pass. There have been no negative effects on marriage, divorce, or cohabitation among different sex couples. "We find no evidence for a retreat from marriage," said RAND's Melanie Zaber, a co-author of the study. In fact, the few significant effects observed by new analyses of the issue suggest a slight increase in overall marriage rates and provide some evidence of improved attitudes toward marriage among young people in states after same-sex couples were granted legal status. In short, the researchers found that for LGBT individuals and same-sex couples, their children, and the general U.S. population, the benefits of access to legal same-sex marriage are, quote, unambiguously positive.
As this school year comes to a close, school districts are preparing to launch their summer learning programs, one of the main ways they aim to help students recover from pandemic learning loss. A RAND study published earlier this month highlights results from a survey of educators conducted after last year's summer programs ended. The findings may be valuable to school districts looking to ensure that summer programs benefit more students, particularly kids who are struggling. Here are some of the key insights. In 2023, 81% of school districts offered summer programs, typically to both elementary and secondary grade levels. The largest programs were typically free of charge, ran for 4 weeks, offered about 4 hours of academic instruction per day, and hired district teachers for at least some, if not all, instruction. The largest programs typically enrolled less than half of eligible students, whether or not they had eligibility restrictions. Less than 1 in 5 school districts' largest elementary summer programs met the minimum recommended hours of instruction found to academically benefit students. Finally, 4 in 10 districts anticipated decreases in funding for this year's summer programs. These findings point to some potential areas of improvement for summer learning programs across the country. For example, to support strong attendance, school districts could set clear attendance policies, a firm enrollment deadline, and, if possible, provide attendance incentives. It's also important to have programs run for more than 4 weeks, with at least 3 hours of academic instruction per day. Steps such as these could help make sure that summer learning opportunities and summer learning benefits reach the students who need them most.
In 2022, employers and private insurers paid hospital prices averaging 254% of what Medicare would have paid for the same services at the same facilities. That's according to a recent RAND study that builds on our previous research, which found that in 2020, private plans paid hospital prices averaging 224% of what Medicare would have paid. Our new findings also underscore wide variation in hospital prices from state to state. Some states, Arkansas, Iowa, Massachusetts, Michigan, and Mississippi, had relative prices under 200% of Medicare. Others, California, Florida, Georgia, New York, South Carolina, West Virginia, and Wisconsin, had relative prices that were above 300% of Medicare. Because hospitals account for the largest share of healthcare spending in the United States, such wide variation in their pricing suggests that employers, which are the largest source of insurance coverage in the U.S., may be able to redesign health plans to ensure they better reflect the value of care provided. Although these findings give employers valuable insights, study co-author Brian Briscombe points out that they may not be enough on their own to curb healthcare costs. Quote, "Price transparency alone will not lead to changes if employers do not or cannot act upon price information."
Our last topic today focuses on securing artificial intelligence. A RAND report out this week looks at one key aspect of protecting advanced AI models from theft and misuse: securing what are called AI model weights. Technically, these weights are numeric variables that the AI model uses in its calculations when it's trying to answer a question. But in a more meaningful sense, weights represent everything that the AI model has learned, everything it knows. Our report considers how these model weights can be protected against a variety of potential malicious attackers, from opportunistic criminals to highly resourced nation-state operations. It also identifies dozens of methods of attack, ranging from more mundane threats like basic social engineering schemes to more severe measures like a military takeover. The authors identify actions that AI organizations can take right away to help prepare for such threats. These include reducing the number of people authorized to access AI model weights, implementing insider threat programs, and engaging in third-party red team exercises to simulate relevant threat actors. These are just some of the investments that AI organizations should consider in the near term. But securing model weights against the most capable actors will require significantly more investment over the coming years. Until recently, AI security was primarily a commercial concern, said the study's lead author, Sela Navo. But as the technology becomes more capable, it's increasingly important to ensure these technologies don't end up in the hands of bad actors that could exploit them. That's why this research is so essential. Not only does it offer a first-of-its-kind playbook for AI companies to defend against the most sophisticated attacks, it can also help facilitate meaningful engagement between policymakers, AI developers, and other stakeholders as they seek to understand the broader impacts of AI security.
That's it for this week's episode. If you'd like to learn more about the research we discussed today, check out the show notes at rand.org/podcast. We'll see you next week. RAND is a nonprofit institution that helps improve policy and decision-making through research and analysis.